In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the first Sunday that I have taken the pulpit since the tragic assassination of Charlie Kirk. Now, regardless of what you might think about his political positions, whether or not you approve of his rhetorical approach to debate, we should all agree that for a man, especially one who was a husband and father, to be murdered in cold blood is tragic and reprehensible to Christian morality. This point is not up for debate. The Fifth Commandment and our Lord's own words in the Gospels clearly condemn murder, even against those with whom you disagree. "Vengeance is mine," says the Lord. "I will repay." In the wake of Kirk's assassination, some have responded by rallying to his political cause, seeking to begin new chapters of his nonprofit. Others have, might I add, rightly, vehemently condemned all forms of political violence. Others, though, have taken the polar opposite position, saying, in effect, that Kirk got what he deserved. Now, I don't intend to weigh in on the specifics of these responses, as have so many others who are far smarter than me. What I would like to do instead, though, is to draw your attention to the shared core of so many people's reactions to Kirk's death. And I want to acknowledge, first of all, that I'm going to generalize a little bit, so don't come up to me after the service and say, well, so-and-so or such-and-such a situation is the exception to what I'm about to say. I get that there are exceptions, but I think those exceptions prove the rule. Here's the point. Many of the college students filing to start new chapters of Kirk's Turning Point USA are having the same kind of response to his death as are those who, in effect, say that he got what he deserved. To be sure, the actions are completely opposite on the surface, but the motivations are both emotional. And this should not surprise us. It is human nature to respond to significant events emotionally, especially when such events are tragic. A child cannot help but feel and act a certain way after the news of his parents' impending divorce. The death of a loved one cannot help but evoke strong feelings of sadness and loss. Likewise, when one witnesses the public execution of a man, be it social media, traditional media, or especially in person, it is human nature to respond emotionally. It is natural to be disturbed, even if you did not know him or listen to him personally. What does this mean for free speech in our country? Could something similar happen to me or to my loved ones? Is this just the continuation of a pattern of political violence in our country which will only get worse? How much longer will the liberals pull the wool over the eyes of so much of the American public? Will the conservatives drag the Christian church into full-on confusion of church and state? On and on these hypothetical questions go. The whatabouts, the what-ifs, the can-you-imagines are Satan's chief weapons in times like this. Christians need to turn off CNN and MSNBC just as much as they need to turn off Fox News because of the anger and the unhelpful emotion which these networks provoke. Even the comedians on these networks aren't funny anymore because they spend the bulk of their time spreading propaganda and fear and rage. Now, more than ever, Christians need to turn off the voice of worldly media, to stop listening to the world and to hear the voice of our Savior, Jesus. In the wake of the upheaval in our nation and indeed in our world, today's gospel text offers poignant words of our Lord that we all need to hear. So today we will especially consider two key sayings of Christ from the beginning and then from the end of today's gospel text, which both show us and highlight the important truth that Christians make an effort to seek first the kingdom of God. First, we hear these words at the very beginning of today's gospel text. no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. As we considered several weeks ago, there are only two ways that one can go in life, the way of God or the way of the world. The way of God leads to life, but the way of the world, which so easily entraps us, leads to death. Christ puts this same teaching a little bit differently in today's gospel text. He speaks in terms of masters. In other words, you are a slave. You are bound to serve a master. The question is, which master will you choose to serve? For you cannot serve both God and the world. Of course, the problem is it is easy to serve the world, but the world so easily entraps us because the things of the world are the things that we see and feel. And it is our feelings which especially drive us. Look at the birds of the air, or the lilies or grass of the field. God provides for them. But how can I focus upon those good and godly truths when my stomach is growling or my throat is parched? How can I get out of bed when I feel overwhelmingly depressed? How can I look outside myself when I feel crippling anxiety that makes it so that I can barely function? When our stomach growls, we know that we're not going to starve. When we have a parched throat, we know that we're not dying of dehydration. When we see the birds of the air, we know that God provides both for them and for us. Knowledge is not the problem. The problem is that we let our feelings lead us. And this betrays a deep-seated truth of human nature. For as much as we would like to think and claim that we are logical and rational people, in the end, we are driven by our feelings. And if we're really, really honest with ourselves, then we will recognize that what we feel, that's what we think is real. Not what we see or what we make sense of. It's what we feel that we truly think is real. And so when we see the public assassination of a man, we feel horror, anger, profound sadness. When we're faced with uncertainty in our church or in our personal lives, we feel anxious. When another person says something rude to us, we feel outrage and anger. And far too often, it is these feelings which then drive our action. We explode in anger. We are paralyzed in fear. We act impulsively. But the thing is, when you act on these feelings, you are serving the God of this world, which so often takes the form of sinful wants and desires. And let us be clear. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so here's the all-important question. Are you leading your feelings, or are your feelings leading you? Those two alternatives are mutually exclusive. One must be true, and one must be false. The pagans seek after the impulses and desires of the flesh. They allow the endless wave of media and advertising to control the way that they live. They prioritize the pleasures of life, not being content to simply fill their bellies or quench their thirst, Such must be done with delicious food and drink in order to satisfy not just their bellies, but also their lust for pleasure. The Christian must not allow himself to fall into this way of being. The impulses of the flesh and the desires of the body must not control us, for we serve the true God alone. Yes, of course, our physical bodies need food and drink, and they rightfully alert us when our stomach is empty or our throat is parched so that we will know that our body is in need. Similarly, humans need safety, security, and stability. When a man is publicly murdered, or when we face uncertain times, our body would be severely damaged if it didn't sound the alarm bells of anxiety and fear so that we know that we need to seek a safety which is currently lacking. But in those moments, this is the all-important question. Where are you seeking these things? Where do you look to supply your bodily needs? Where do you look for safety, security, and stability? Our Lord instructs us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Dear friends in Christ, do not let your impulses and your feelings drive you, for they will lead you where you do not want to go. They will lead you into slavery, to sin, death, and the devil. Rather, a Christian must make an effort to seek first the kingdom of God. The fact of the matter is, there is no such thing as an accidental Christian. Sure, one may sort of stumble into the faith without realizing it, but one cannot remain in the faith by accident. For Satan prowls like a roaring lion seeking to devour you. That's why you can read any of the New Testament epistles and you will see repeated exhortations to holy living. And of course, this is not a call for works righteousness, as if the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is insufficient for your salvation. For Christ has accomplished all things necessary for your salvation. His love covers the multitude of your sins. Man is saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And yet the devil will seek to drag you away from this salvation. So you must be on your guard. Do not fall into his slavery. As the apostle says in today's epistle, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. The Christian life, and indeed the kingdom of God, are sought by making a diligent effort. Reading the Bible or praying isn't easy. Getting out of the bed in the morning for church is not easy. Choosing to restrain the flesh and to not respond in anger when you're provoked, it's not easy. Disengaging from the media narratives and instead devoting ourselves to truly loving our neighbor is not easy. And yet it is all worth it. So let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Dear friends in Christ, the eternal joys of paradise await you. Seek with all your heart, mind, and strength to serve God who is our loving Master. For he has given his own Son into death so that you might be granted life. The labor of this life for the Christian is not easy. It involves a constant denial of self and of choosing to lead our feelings into the truth of God. And it is all worth it in the end. The worldly responses to Charlie Kirk's murder are a warning for us to not blindly follow the ways of the world, just as our own sinful impulses are a reminder of our own tendency to do just that. Let us place our trust in the God who provides for all our needs of body and soul. And let us make an effort to seek first the kingdom of God, knowing that it is He alone who continues to provide for all that we need, both now and eternally. God grant it, in Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.